All right, this is episode 33, and it's going to be a really good one, I'll tell you right now. You're listening to the Get Out and Serve podcast. This is Joe Walsh, and I'm coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, of all places. I'm sitting here with the crew. We're sitting in a hotel room with the crew, all of us. Nikki, welcome back to the show.
Oh, we have got such a story to tell.
We do have. We've got quite a few. Patrick, P-Mac.
Hey, it's so good to be here. You know, a little bit tired, a little bit grumpy, but that's grumpy all cat. Natural and normal with me, isn't it?
You're always grumpy. You've had quite a smile, I would say, the last few days. At one point you said, I didn't know I went on a trip with my grandkids. It was probably when we were trying to jump on the bed, when you were trying to read your paper.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. But, you know, I got to say that this was pretty enjoyable, even for me, who doesn't like anything.
You know he's completely lying, but yeah, we've had quite the journey. We left on Thursday.
Yep, and it is now Sunday night. Podcast is going to go out either late tonight, but probably tomorrow, because I'm going to have to edit on the plane. And because this has been a whirlwind trip. And, well, let's start from the beginning. Because I think right before we started, Pat, what were you saying when I said just save it for the show?
Well, you know, we have to start from the beginning with this whole thing, how the trip began. And we flew out of Liberia, Costa Rica at 1:30 on Thursday on Delta. And we flew first class because I embarrassed Joe into buying first class.
You didn't even embarrass me. You just bought the tickets with my credit card.
I just bought them. And, you know,
when you told me, I was like, cool.
Yeah,
because I don't have to buy you a $10,000 ticket to China in first class. I'd rather it be Muskegon, Michigan. Hold on. We got to back up even further, though, because where did we even go? How did this whole thing even start? We went to the Great Lakes Surf Festival with our good man, Larry Larson. Nikki, tell the quick story. Let's get up to speed with what happened.
Now, I think it was episode 6, correct?
It was.
When we did a Great Lakes surfing podcast with Larry, who comes down to Costa Rica every year.
For like 20 years.
Yeah. And you know, knows the area well. Really good surfer. And just a shout out to Lynn and Larry. They have hosted us this weekend, and they have been it has been the most amazing time. Larry, you have a beautiful home.
Beautiful home. You got a great setup. I love your style. I love the little glasses. I love the lights that you just don't know even how to turn them on and off, because the house might have been built in the 80s, but it's like it was very modern then, and it's still
ultra modern.
Dude, killer style.
You know, they are the phrase that comes from Costa Rica, Pura Vida. That is their lifestyle. And they opened their house up to us. They actually moved out to give us their house, so the three of us could each have our own bed. And it was just awesome. And it's such a great location with a 360-degree view of two bodies of water. It was just so chill. I loved it. Great neighborhood.
Yeah, we've been waking up early and just sitting around having coffee, looking out over the water.
So Larry and Lynn have been coming down to Tamarindo for many years. Mm-hmm. We finally had, we had Larry on episode 6 of Get Out and Surf. It was the Great Lakes surfing episode. Before then, I really knew very little. I knew nothing, really, about surfing in the Great Lakes. And, learned a lot. Learned that there was this Great Lakes Surf Festival. It's one of the things we talked about in the episode. The festival seemed pretty sweet. And then over the next couple of months, we kept talking about it. We ended up, Witches Rock Surf Camp was a sponsor for this event. It happened yesterday, August 17th, 2019. It was in Muskegon, Michigan, right on Lake Michigan at the Pier Marquette Park, I think it's called. We knew we were coming to the event. Didn't really know what to expect. But we flew up from Tamarindo for a long weekend. Now we're sitting in
We're in a Hampton Inn close to the airport in Grand Rapids.
All right. We got here to Michigan. We drove out to Muskegon. We stayed at Larry and Lynn's house right up on this beautiful knoll at the end of the road overlooking Muskegon Lake. This morning, there were deer coming right up to the sliding glass door.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and walked out and looked out the front door, and there was a deer just staring right at me. A young buck, brand new antlers, still had the fur on him.
Is that a tick?
Okay. Supposedly they're not so bad there, but however, that deer didn't care if I was there or not. I opened the door to take a picture, and he just like looked at me like, okay, I'm going to keep eating. You can take a picture. And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, Muskegon's quite a beautiful place. We've had a really, really good weekend. But, like, you know, backing up. So we left on Thursday, Yeah. 1:30. Straight away, we're back ready to get onto the plane. And I'm like hearing, go, can Mr. Nicky Hurren make himself known to the desk? And therefore, I have to go down all of this, like, out through the airport, down into this sort of like storage area where they'd pulled me up for all of the sound equipment that we use to do the podcast.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird, this box of microphones. I got to admit that every time I take it through one of the airport luggage scanners, it always goes. They always have to open the bag and look at it. And then this mixer, I don't know. It does look like it could be.
It's just a series of wires, and so when it comes up on their X-ray, they always pull it up. And then I explained everything, and everything was all good. And then we continued up. I continued up to go back to the boarding gate, and then I get pulled off for a random security check. And it's the guy's very first day, so he was extremely nervous and was taking forever. And I was like, "Can I just get on the plane? I've never been first class, so I want to know what it's like." And I've got to wait all this time to get there.
You know, I fly Delta all the time, and I also fly first class all the time. And I have to say that the first class on this flight was more like Comfort Plus and not first class.
It was bullshit.
Yeah, you know, I was a little embarrassed. Because I talked to you about going first class all the time, and we got there, and there was no separation between Comfort Plus and first class, so you really didn't know the difference.
It was just a little curtain. It was like there were two seats on each side, and then there was this curtain that wasn't closed, and there was three seats. Didn't help. We had a screaming child right behind us, but that didn't really get me.
Yeah, you know, I felt bad for the parents.
I have these kids. I understand that
it's
part.
It's part of traveling.
You know what got me? You know what got me is the fact that the drink cart from the back of the plane made it all the way to the front, and it was really right next to me, and I could see
what you wanted.
I could see what I wanted, but and they hadn't given us a drink yet in first class. And I mean, I'm not like, you know, I don't really need to be pampered.
Yeah, so I don't know what bothers me more, that it was more like Comfort Plus, or that you were whining about your drink.
How do you know I was whining? I looked across the aisle and you had your little blanket tucked up over your shoulders.
With my mouth open snoring on the plane. I go, as soon as the plane turns on the engine, I fall asleep.
We hadn't even left the ground and you were already on the sleep. You know, we were already asleep. But then we landed in Atlanta. And I had to join the largest line there was ever to get through immigration. And I was there for about, we had a 2.5 hour layover, and I think I used about 2.25 hours to get through immigration and everything else, and then to find you boys in the lounge.
Well, dude, did you know that it was on the news this weekend, there was a huge computer issue with customs and immigration at the airports?
But that was Saturday.
No, that was Friday morning, and I'm pretty sure it must have started early, because when we got there, I haven't really seen lines that long. And I mean, that's why I got the global entry, and Pat, I got it because you got it first. Well, so I was like, dude, I'm sorry, Nikki. Plus, you know what?
It doesn't matter what I get. I'm always going to be sitting in the line.
It sucks.
Matter.
You're British, but that's the way it goes.
So let's talk about global entry.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty awesome.
Well, so.
Yeah, what did you have?
Global entry.
You had mobile entry.
I have global entry, and I was reading an article about mobile pass and how fast mobile pass is, and sometimes it's faster than global entry. So I decided to give it a try, and I put all my information in and walked over to the woman who had two separate lines going. One was for global entry and the other was for everyone. And I said, I've got a mobile pass. She goes, get in line. I went, this line? She says, oh yeah, this line. I said, I thought I got through quickly. She goes, you'll get through quicker than some of these people. I said, well, I'm just going to use my global entry. And she goes, oh, no, you can't do that now. You've already put your information in the mobile pass.
So, yeah, I walked by you in the global entry line, and you looked at me like you wanted to kill me.
No, I looked at you like I was a lost child going, please, Joe, take me with you.
It took me like 2 minutes to get through.
It took me like 30 minutes, which isn't bad. However.
Nikki?
Over
2 hours.
Yeah, over 2 hours. And then I went and got the baggage that I check in again. And then find up where you guys were.
Have a quick pint.
Very grateful for. Had a quick pint. And then off we were again, off to Grand Rapids.
Yep. So we made it to Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact you can get a rental car right at the airport here, too.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I love these small airports. So
I just want to back up a little bit. I've done the test, mobile pass versus global entry on an international flight. Forget about Mobile Pass. Get your global entry. It's the best $100 that you can spend.
Yeah, it really is nice.
And if you are coming in on a Visa or an Esta, make sure you download something on your phone so you can watch it while you're standing in line for 2 hours.
Yeah. I would recommend if you're coming someplace with us again, you go the day before.
Yeah, that might actually make it a little easier.
And then you'll get there about the same time we get there.
So we got to Muskegon. We got here in time for this surf festival. This was something I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what the beach was going to be like in Michigan. I didn't know what the surf was going to be like, what the local surf scene looked like. It was a, you know what I have to say? Well, first off, I thought it was awesome. I think that the people in Muskegon, everyone I met was freaking awesome. They're super chill, down to earth, like a real normal town.
This like, Muskegon and that beach community is a hometown. You have people living there that have been there their whole entire lives. They know each other. They're happy people.
Been there for generations.
They support each other. Everyone knows everyone else. And everyone is happy to meet a stranger coming into town. And it made us feel really welcome. I know myself, I felt very welcome.
Yeah, we met Tom Blake's great niece, mm-hmm. great nieces.
And Tom Blake was born in Muskegon.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea what the whole Great Lakes was going to look like, what the beach was like, the sand. It was like North Shore Hawaii sand.
Yeah,
like,
Hawaii sand. It's beautiful sand and different than Costa Rica. In the middle of the day when the sun is beating down on it, you don't burn your feet. Did you notice that?
Yeah, well, actually I didn't because I was in a booth for like 12 hours. But, I got out there a little bit. But hundreds of people, I think there were close to 2,000 people came to the event.
Did they
really? Yeah, that's what they said. It was like 1,800 or maybe close to 2,000 people were there. They had live music the whole day. There was some reggae band that came up from, was it like Tampa Bay, Florida? Somewhere in Florida.
Yeah, they were really good.
Really good. There was a good local band too early. There was a
local band playing Grateful Dead stuff. They sounded just like Grateful Dead.
Yeah, and then there was this other band, these like kids. I don't know even how old they were, but they were like just, I don't even know, it was just jamming these original tunes, and I was like, man, this is some good stuff. So there was good music coming out from the stage. I don't know, maybe 30, 35, 40 booths. I didn't count, but a lot of booths, a lot of like local surf brands. Like you know, we had Ryan from Third Coast Surf Shop. There was Wet Mitten Surf Shop. There was Detroit Surf Shop. The guy Ken from No Coast Surfboards. You know that guy Ken, he was saying that because I went over to his booth and he had this, they had like this tow-in board that he had shaped. He told me that they tow in to like 12, 15 foot waves here on the Great Lakes. I wouldn't have believed it except the guy's lived there for 30 years and he grew up surfing South Africa. The guy is a full-on surfer. The guy, he does the ding repair, him and this other guy, Marty, do all the ding repair for everyone in the area. And dude, I thought that was insane. I mean, I knew there were some big waves that break out there. But I didn't realize you could tow in. So they had like all kinds of characters. Basically, everyone from the Lake Michigan surf scene was there. We met them all, and there was a lot of cool folks.
Yeah, you don't think of Michigan as having a surf scene, but let me tell you, for years and years and years, there's been a big surf scene there, and these people are so dedicated, and they get so excited every time there's a swell. Like today,
yeah,
You guys went surfing. I watched because it was too damn cold, but I watched you two go out there and really get some good waves.
It was one of those moments where
it looked cold. It was windy. It was really windy. That's why you get.
It's super windy, and we were kind of.
That's why there was waves.
Yeah, and Larry was like, "Okay, I think there's going to be surf," and so we went down to the beach. I mean, we checked up where the festival was this morning up
at
by the
pier.
At the pier, and then we were driving back, and he's like, "Oh, look, just in this little corner." There was these few little peelers. Okay, it was very onshore, and it was very like, what was the period?
Like, man, a 1 second period.
It was like 2 second period swell.
Yeah, yeah. And so like we took out a 9-0 Christensen and a 9-10 Harbor with the craziest, like most raked fin I think I've ever seen on a longboard.
Okay. I've never surfed until today. I had never surfed the Great Lakes. I've never surfed in fresh water till today. I've never surfed a lake before today.
Mm-mm.
It was a completely new experience. I know you're from, this is the part where you say you're from England, from the North Sea, and that the surf is just like it, right? It's got to be.
It is.
It is, right? Because you were ripping out there, and I'm like, dude, this guy knows what it's like surfing these conditions. You could tell because you had it going on. I mean, I had some good waves, but you had some great waves.
Well, I was on a 9-10.
Yeah, that helped.
Yeah, but it was really crazy because it was really like messing with my senses, because like as soon as you get in and as soon as the water came over you, you expected it to be salty. And so you had this thing in you, like, where's the salt? And there wasn't any salt because it's completely fresh water.
Totally. It was tripping me out because I would duck dive and my eyes didn't burn. You know, I've got this really like light eyes. It gets so fried by the sun and especially salt water. And it was like not even like swimming in the pool. It was like swimming in the bath.
And like you kind of, if you fell off, you were so much heavier in the water as well.
Yeah, not as buoyant.
Yeah, nowhere near as buoyant. So it was a crazy experience. But like today we went out and Larry, it wasn't like it was only just us. I mean, I know the waves get a lot better there. But there was like, I don't know what, 6 or 7 people out. There's a bunch of kiteboarders.
Yeah, there was more.
So there's a whole bunch of people out there surfing as well, just having a good time on their Sunday. And everyone was friendly and saying, hey, what's up? And like, it was fun. It was like proper fun. So really, really stoked that we got to actually surf.
You know, the other thing that I found out from being there is that a lot of these people from Muskegon travel to Costa Rica. A lot of people have been down there. And, you know, they follow the surf just like anyone else on the West Coast or the East Coast. And it's the third coast.
You know, I admire a surf community like that. The fact that, I mean, we live in Costa Rica, we get waves all the time. I'm from Southern California. There's a lot, I mean, it might be more crowded, but you get a lot of waves in San Diego. You don't get a lot of waves in Lake Michigan. It's not like every day there's something to ride. You know, you really have to, and when the waves get good, like the water condition, the conditions will get just brutal, that you really have to be dedicated. And it's just really respectable to see people so dedicated to their sport, to be so passionate about it. That they'll, that you know, and when the surf does come together, it makes it that much more special.
Yeah, and you know, you don't believe it until you see the photos and the videos that we saw, where there's waves at, you know, 2 times, 3 times overhead, in some of the parts of the lake, and it's no joke. And you see some waves tubing.
You know, there was one photograph that. That really stood out in particular.
Lake Superior, that left, right?
That one, yeah. But like for me, there was one where it was like a right-hand point break. And there was these 3 sets. And there was these 3 waves breaking in the background. And it was snowing. And there was this like bonfire on the beach. And it was like, it looked really, really good.
I think that's the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. I'm not positive, but.
But you're like, and I mean, yeah, I've surfed cold before, but like, you know, like that's cold. And, you know, it's easy for us. We've made the decision to move to Costa Rica and where it is nice and warm and we've got swell all the time. But, you know, and these people, they decide to spend the winter there. And, you know, it's a harsh winter and they're hunting waves. And for them to be at the right place at the right time, because the swell can come up in like in a matter of like, 30 minutes to an hour and then be gone. Like real, you know, so like anyone to get those photographs, actually surf those waves at that moment. That's real dedication.
Yeah, they drop everything here to go.
Well, I mean, so today we woke up this morning. We were going to go out on the boat. We were going to go out, tool around in Larry's boat. Maybe, I don't even know. I can't remember what else we were planning on doing. But all of a sudden that storm came in, right? All of a sudden within a couple hours, you were like, you went for a run in the morning. Mm-hmm. You came back and all of a sudden skies got gray. The wind picked up. It's doing 20, 30 knot winds. Then it rains. Then like.
Yeah, so the other part of the story is we're all chilling in our rooms, and all of a sudden it sounded just like a bomb dropped next to our heads.
Lightning bolt struck.
And a lightning bolt struck right behind the house. I think right behind my room. Not only did it knock out the electricity in that particular room, it broke the wire that goes along the gas line, fried a hole in the gas line. We had smoke filling up the house.
Yeah, all of a sudden it smelled like gas. Some were calling the...
I said smoke. I meant gas, yeah.
Yeah, so Larry's calling like 911. Is that what he did?
He's calling 911.
And all of a sudden they're like, dude, you have to evacuate. We're grabbing our shit. We're running out of the house.
Yeah. It's
you
not...
Actually, you went into like evacuation mode. You did like... Yeah. The last time I saw you do that was when we had that 7.8 earthquake. And you were just like... carting people out of the kitchen. Remember?
Yep.
Everyone was just like going crazy. It was like that.
You know, it's not a good vacation without me at least having to evacuate somebody once.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was definitely a danger Will Robinson moment.
And it was kind of funny. I said, all right, you guys got to get out of the house right now. We've got to move the cars out of the carport. If this thing blows up, it's not going to be pretty. And Nikki ran outside, barely had any clothes on, and
that's nothing. That's nothing.
He goes, that's pretty good. Yeah. He goes, I said, you know, Nikki, you got to put some clothes on. Oh, you made me get out of the house.
Pat was like, get out right now. I'm like, I need my passport. They won't be able to identify your body while you're, you know, get out. And so like, we managed to get out of the house. And, so it was a massive, massive lightning bolt.
Yeah. I mean, I was on my computer and like when it cracked and like I jumped and it's like my head like went up and I could see the light from the lightning bolt. It was like instantaneous, the lightning and the sound, you know, the thunder. And, yeah, it was wild. You know, we got out, had to wait for the fire department and they cut off the gas and they're still up there working on it. Yeah. So, but that storm and that wind, all of a sudden, we went down to the beach, and all of a sudden, there's little waves coming in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it started building. And that's pretty much, I think, how it goes in Lake Michigan. You know, a front comes through, and then all of a sudden, there's some waves.
Yeah, it whips up a little bit of a storm, and a few pulsing waves come through, you know, very small fetch. Like I said, 2 seconds, I think even... I don't think I've ever surfed anything that low in period.
No, I definitely haven't. And what, you know what I liked? I mean, it wasn't so, I mean, obviously the conditions weren't that great, but it was surfing and it was fun. Mm. And I know it gets a lot better. The local guys out there are saying, dude, this is bad, dude. It gets way better. And I know it does. But what I liked about it is that with that 2 second period swell, you really get a good workout.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, dude, I mean, the waves weren't so big, but it's one after another after another after another, and you're paddling hard. Yeah,
and if no one believes that you two surfed, I have a lot of video.
I know.
Yeah, it looks actually better on the video than it did in person.
Yeah, well, you know what? When you get out there, you realize it's hard to see because they're stacked up one after the other after the other. It's hard to gauge, like, what's really going on from the shore. You get out there. And there's a wave going on.
On my best day, I'm confused. Never mind a 1 second or a 2 second period between waves. So I wasn't going out in that and slopping around.
But yeah, it was a great, great day. And thank you, Larry, again for getting us wetsuits and boards and setting us up and actually showing us where to go. I know you were stoked to see us out there. Yeah.
You know, it's a place. Muskegon is a place that I would absolutely bring my family for a vacation. It's the most chill place, the nicest people. The beach is outstanding, and the places to eat in town are great.
Yeah, we got some great local food and local craft beer. We went to the Pigeon Hill Brewery. Mm-hmm. What was the IPAs?
Two Hearted. By Bell's, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, Bell's Brewery, the IPA, the Two Hearted. That was pretty solid as
and
well.
And Pigeon Hill, your No Dignity IPA was great. I chose it for the name, but it was a really, really good brew and had your Kolsch as well. So, yeah, we had a really good time. It was happening downtown when we were there. Yeah, absolutely, it was.
Yeah, we met like a ton of surfers from the area, and I felt like I really had a good opportunity to absorb the local surf scene and just get a solid understanding of how it works around here. You know, like I knew that Lake Michigan and Lake Superior have waves because of the size of the lakes and the fetch. And, I assumed that the other lakes could have waves too, but it really confirmed this event talking to some of these guys, like Emilio, I think his name was, who was talking about the heaviest wave that he's surfed anywhere is a spot an hour outside of Cleveland. I'm like, dude.
On Lake Erie.
Yeah. He's claiming Lake Erie. And the boys in Detroit, I didn't realize that Detroit has surf. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess any body of water big enough is going to produce some waves. But what was so cool is to hear about, like, I mean, Gary, Indiana is like the secret like spot, or I don't even know if I should be saying it on the show, but the south end of Lake Michigan in Indiana. I didn't even know Indiana was on the Great Lakes. And there's dudes getting really good waves in front of these giant factories and some of these rust belt towns.
Yeah, well, Chicago's on Lake Michigan, you know?
And Chicago gets waves too.
Yeah.
We hung out with surfers from all these parts of the Great Lakes. And it was fascinating and totally rewarding. I'm glad we came up. And I got to say, you Great Lakes surfers, everyone listening to this podcast from the Great Lakes area, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, absolutely rock. They really do. And it leaves a good feeling in my heart, and I'm heartless.
He says he is. He's not. He's got a massive heart.
Seriously. He's like taking pictures of like deer at like 5 a.m. and
well, to everybody that came to our booth and came and said,
I was
hey.
Scolding you guys because you wanted to shoot deer.
I don't want to shoot deer.
Like, who wants to kill Bambi? Come on.
If I was hungry.
Come on.
No, if I was hungry.
You can go to McDonald's. There's one in every town.
Yeah, but then I've got to listen to that guy talk about Nixon and Nam. I don't want to do that. I just want to go, no, Andre.
No, but it's all right. Actually, that's got to be a cultural experience for you, Nikki. The fact that you can go to any town in America and there's going to be a McDonald's just like that one. And there's going to be people just like that in McDonald's having conversations just like that.
So everyone that came up to the booth and said hello to us, it was really great to meet you all. We met a bunch of people from all over, you know, like people who were coming through the area. And I must say, the raffle was quite exciting because you put your name down on the ticket and you put it into the raffle. At the end, they had these amazing prizes.
Yeah, there was a like a Firewire that was Rob Machado's personal board that he had signed. And then there was this Dick Brewer like balsa gun.
Yeah, it was like a $3,000 surfboard.
And it really
and then it was like
it broke my heart that the people that won those two boards didn't surf. But maybe that'll get them to start.
You know, little known fact, if I had won any of those things, I was going to give it to the first kid that I saw in the crowd, because that's their town. They're so excited about surfing.
Look at Pat. Look how, like, this is.
I know. I get him, like, a teddy well bear. Done, you know, Muskegon. Well yeah, done, Muskegon.
Can you get me a teddy bear?
No, it's a good thing. You know, you get out of town for a few days. You go to a place like here. I feel like I went to that town from the movie The Great Outdoors. It was like a little town America. Like, it was just.
This is the heart of America, right?
Everybody was just happy and friendly.
Yeah, it was cool. But,
yeah,
and it was refreshing.
I was really excited to come to Muskegon because, like, say, you go to New York, you go to San Francisco, you go to LA, you go to these places where you have like almost of a preconceived conception of what they're going to be like, how the people are going to be. So here I had no idea, apart from Larry, and Larry's a nice guy, but I can't judge everybody off one guy. But like, everybody was really lovely, like really lovely. Like Charles, who I met at the yacht club last night and you were fishing with your boys, I said I'd give you a shout out. So here's a shout out to you because you said you were going to give us a listen. You know, just really, really great people. And it was just so relaxing to walk around and have like those long summer evenings. It's still, what's the time now?
Yeah, it's going on 9 o'clock, I guess.
Yeah.
Still light out.
And so it's, you know, we're so used to lights going out real early in Costa Rica, 6 o'clock, boom, lights out. So we've had some really lovely evenings looking at sailboats, being on the water. It's been fantastic.
Well, they really got to pack it in here too, because pretty much like Memorial Day to Labor Day, that's when those, like the deck, that restaurant right on the water there was just jamming. But I guess they board up right after Labor Day and they're closed until the next May because the winters here could be out of control. A lot of snow. Really,
yeah, they get up to 20, 30 below down here.
Yeah. So definitely, though, if you want to surf the Great Lakes, September and October really are the best couple of months because the water and the air is still really nice. And that's really when you get the differences in like water temperature and air temperature and when the fronts really pick up. And you can get some pretty solid waves without the conditions being too cold. So if you're thinking about coming this way, maybe the next couple of months, make a trip up to Muskegon. You can check out the boys at Wet Bit and Surf Shop in Grand Haven.
Yeah, Tim, that's who runs a surf shop, and we went on a wakeboarding boat with him.
Oh yeah, we did. We went. We got pulled behind a big like that was a pretty nice boat too, huh?
Yeah, it was like a James Bond type of boat. You know, it had like a digital display, and like it was insane.
Yeah, we were shredding it. We were shredding that gnar.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's like a proper wake boat with the like a water-filled ballast, I guess, where they can like extend the wake, make the wake bigger and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, we were throwing about a 3-foot wave.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was actually a big wave than what we most probably surf today, but like I definitely more form, but like it was a workout. It was really difficult because you're just like surfing for like maybe I don't know a minute and a half like max on the little wake.
No wetsuit either. We were just trunking it.
Yeah, no, it was super cool, and like it was a unique experience. I've never done that before, and like we also have to give a shout out to Joe
Joe Bitterwood, who put on the event. Thank you very much.
What a great guy he is.
Did a great job. That event was, it was the second annual one, and they're going to have it every year. So if you are interested in checking out the Great Lakes Surf Festival, go to greatlakesurffestival.com. Get more information. I'm not sure when the date is for the one next year in 2020, but it's definitely going to happen. And it's popping, man.
Check it out. We'll definitely be back for that. And, you know, again, we can't emphasize enough what host and hostess Lynn and Larry were for us. Opened their house up, moved out for us, and cooked a dinner that you would die for tonight with whitefish. I mean, unreal. I haven't had a home-cooked meal like that in a long time.
Yeah, that's like only found, that fish is only found in the Great Lakes.
That's right.
And I think we've eaten so much bar cheese that we're ready to bust.
Oh, yeah.
I have like 10 tubs
yeah,
of it
and,
in the
fridge.
I'm
like, you know, like I might take a tub. You can have the rest. I'm like bar cheesed out.
We've eaten a lot of bar. Larry, like
I'll give you a couple tubs.
Oh, thank
Larry
you.
The cheese, man. Like, that's why we call him that, because he had his own cheese company, and he has this bar cheese. That is
Sam's
just,
famous.
He's so addictive.
Yeah, if you go to, like, Pigeon Hill or any of the local, you know, most any of the local breweries here in the area, you can find it. You know, they serve it with pretzels. It's like this amazing jalapeno cheese dip that...
Yeah, you can't stop eating it.
I really can't. Well, I mean, I actually could. I'm full now.
We went through a few tubs while we were sitting around the table. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know I had a good time, and I know you guys did. I know Pat really had a good time.
Yeah, for once in my life, right?
No, come on, man. We're going to do this again next year, and before then, I'm sure we'll go on many other adventures. But, boys, I had a good time. I'm definitely glad we came up.
You know, I think that we should lay odds. How long will it take when I get back to Costa Rica that I'll lose my stoke?
1.5 days
before you're gonna want to kill someone.
Yeah, how long you think before that happens?
1.5 days.
Okay, how much are we betting?
I that's actually pretty generous, Nikki.
You reckon? No, I reckon like Muskegon. I think the whole like trip has had a real effect. Tomorrow's going to be really the defining day. Like, you know, we're traveling back, and as long as everything goes cool and like he gets his fucking drink before everybody else, I think we'll be fine.
Oh, Pat didn't care about that.
No, I didn't care about it. I fall asleep before the plane even taxis.
So what do you think?
I think that the frame of mind that we're in right now is a great frame of mind to be in, and I'm going to remind myself to try to feel this way as much as possible. And I think if, Pat, you do the same thing, I think we're on a good path, because really, we should be way stoked. We've got these killer waves. And like before we left, there was like, I think, what, like Monday or Tuesday, we'd had this run of waves for days. The wind was blowing offshore for days. And it was like all morning long. It was Tuesday of this past week. All morning long, you and I kept texting each other back and forth. Are you going to go out? Are you going to paddle out? I'm like, I'm pretty sure the wind's going to stay offshore. I'm going to maybe wait till dead high tide, because there's like 15 people out. Like, just spoiled. Nonsense. You know? Like, we got it pretty good. I mean, we're flying first class. We're going back to surf offshore, killer waves, and Tamarindo. Life's pretty good.
Well, you actually
all right, so I'll ignore the last two emails I got that have just pissed me right off.
But I,
so like, and after saying that, I'd say probably like 2 hours.
I must say, like, today when we went and surfed, I had a really, really, really good time. And like you say, you just reminded me when you're talking about all the waves that we have out front. And, you know, you get on a really clean wave and you kind of like get annoyed or bugged about yourself because you didn't do something correctly, or you kind of like dropped in a little late, or you stacked it. And today I just didn't care, because like we were surfing the Great Lakes. And so therefore, because I didn't care, and it was just pure stoke, it was pure fun. You know, I mean, I'm at a 9.10.
Oh, I was laughing.
In fact, it was great. It was, but like I say, the joy that we've got from surfing the Great Lakes, it doesn't matter how big it is, it was a real joy.
And there
were
some
joy.
Really good surfers out there, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guys that you could tell have been doing it a long time and know what a 1 second period is like, or a 2 second period is like.
And they were still out there.
They're still out there.
Yeah. I just remember Larry talking about how he could surf when we were doing the podcast, how he could surf and just drink the water. And I was like, no way. So definitely today when I paddled out, I was like, this is awesome. And I was drinking the water. Remember, I was like, dude, Nikki, you can drink the water. And then I looked right over and there's like a giant dead fish
just floating around.
Floating around. Like, you can drink that. Oh.
But it's true. You can drink the water.
Oh, yeah. No, you definitely can.
And the water filtration plant that gives everyone water in that neighborhood, it was right there. You were surfing right off of it. Yep. Yeah.
No, the water is super clean. The beach is super clean. There just happened to be a dead fish right there. I was just...
very funny. It was very funny. And so, like, as I told the immigration officer, whose name was Donate, and
His name was what?
Donate.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Awesome. Okay.
So as I told him as I arrived into Atlanta, he's like, so what are you here to do, sir? And I'm like, I'm going to a surf festival in Muskegon. And he didn't look at me the entire time until I said that. And then he just looked up and had a slight smile. I'm like, yes, I'm going to a surf festival on the Great Lakes. And as I told him, and I tell you all, if you're in the area next time, go and check it out because it is a fantastic place in this world.
So wait, when he looked up and he saw you, like, then he just he smiled and he stamped your shit right away.
Oh, yeah. No, he literally stamped my passport.
No one can lie about that.
No. It's like, you know, of all the things you're going to try and say and lie about, as you're coming into the country, is no.
It's pretty good excuse right there, huh? I mean, who would try to pull that off? Well, all right, then. I think we should probably pack the bags and hit it, man. We got a 4 a.m. departure tomorrow.
True that.
We have. What time you go get up?
I leave like an hour after you.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
Yeah.
As you can hear, we're all a little bit.
It's been a blast.
Definitely.
Oh, it has been. This has been a very, very, very good week.
Pura vida.
Thanks for listening to the Get Out and Surf podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Witches Rock Surf Camp, located beachfront in Tamarindo, Costa Rica. If you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the show. You can do that on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. And if you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. That would be great. That's it. We'll see you next week, same place, same time, with another episode of Get Out and Surf. Pura vida y nos vemos!